Marcus Sahaba Online Radio. Empowering the Ummah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we welcome you to our program, Al-Fiqhu ala al-Madhahib al-Arba'a, Jurisprudence according to the Four Schools of Thought. Today's date is the 19th of Muharram, 1444, corresponding to the Gregorian calendar, the 18th of August, 2022. Our topic today is on jihad, and we welcome our Honorable Mufti Saab. Mufti Saab, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum, Malana Zahid Khan, Jazakallahu khairan.
Mufti Saab, the first question is, what is the linguistic and the shari'i meaning of jihad?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First and foremost, we should know any word you want to discuss in the Arabic language, you go to the lexicon, the dictionary, and the root letters are jahada, jim, ha, dal. So that means to strive. So when Quran Sharif states, Ya ayyuhan Nabi, jahidil kuffara wal munafiqeen waghluz alayhim, that you must strive against the hypocrites and the mushrikeen and the non-Muslims. So remember, it means different meanings in the context and the text. So for example, if you take this first one, Ya ayyuhan Nabi, jahidil kuffara wal munafiqeen. It was the ghazwa of Banu Mustaliq, and there the hypocrites made some unsavory comments and some unsavory remarks, and they said that when they come back to Medina Munawwara, they will expel the Muslims. لَيُخْرِجَنَّ الْعَزُّ مِنْهَا الْأَذَلُ, as mentioned in the Noble Quran, Surah 63 and verse number 8 and so forth and so on. So remember then Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala who said, Ya Rasulallah, then Zayd bin Arqam overheard them saying all this before the verse was revealed. So remember then Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulallah, give me permission. And then we just apply capital punishment to them and kill them. So Nabi alayhi salatu salam said, no. Inna nasa qalu, and this portion is in Bukhari Sharif as well, that the people will say, Inna Muhammadan yaqtulu ashaba, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is killing his own people, because to the outside world, the munafiqeen were known as Muslims. So therefore, now if you take jahidil kuffar wal munafiqeen, so in that context there, what will you say? Jahidil kuffar wal munafiqeen will mean da'wat, to invite them. That is for the munafiqeen. And for the kuffar, the non-Muslims, the mushrikeen, and the polytheists, the nasara, idol worshippers, and Christians, and Jews, and others. So first, we will give them da'wat. We invite them towards Islam. And secondly, then we will say that they must accept istislam. What is istislam? You stay on your religion, like Raha Fiddin, Surah 2, verse 256, like Raha Fiddin. There's no compulsion. It's not we must make everybody a Muslim by force. It must come from them, not we go and impose it upon them. So Islam, they embrace. Or they stay on their religion, and then they will pay us a jizya, a certain amount of tax, very, very nominal amount, only the men, not the women, not the children, not the old, and so forth. And what will they get in return? Their lives will be protected, their honor will be protected, their wealth and assets will be protected. When a war breaks out, they don't have to participate. It is the duty of the Muslim army that they must protect them. And look at what a bargain they are getting actually. And still they don't listen. And and they want to come, remember, and stay and occupy our land, like now in Israel, the rogue apartheid regime, or they want to steal our resources, like in Afghanistan. Afghanistan has got the world's greatest amount of lithium. Lithium is what you require for every cell phone, and it's called the new gold, the new oil. And therefore, all these shaitans and enemies of Islam want to come and occupy Afghanistan. So when enemies want to come there to steal our resources, occupy our land, so then we must defend ourselves. So remember, in Islam, we reject what the Qadianis. Qadianis are not Muslims. Qadianis, and you get these modernist apologetic Muslims, they say that only defensive war is permissible in Islam. That's wrong. In the battle of Khandaq, Nabi alayhi salatu salam said, "Nahnu naghzuhum wa la yaghzunana." We will take the initiative, we will wage war against them, and we don't have to wait till they come and wage war against us. Therefore, you see, in Muharram, 13th of Muharram, 7th year of the Hijrah, the Battle of Khaybar took place. The Muslims themselves took the initiative. So offensive war also permissible, defensive war also permissible. So the meaning I want to give, what we're doing now, is also jihad. So jihad means anything you do, al-mujahidu, that the mujahid is who does things, ay li'ilai kalimatillah, to elevate the deen of Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala. But the person must be a Muslim, the person must do so sincerely, for the love of Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala, the love of Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There must not be a hidden agenda, an ulterior motive, and so forth and so on. So that will be the meaning of jihad. It has a very, very broad connotation.
Mufti Sahib, what is the hukam of jihad? Is it farz?
Remember, jihad is farz-e-kifaya. Like how you have salatul janaza, so salatul janaza, remember, is farz-e-kifaya. Somebody passes away, and now that we in lands, the entire community here, so now 10, 20, 30, 50, 100 people go, so they will get the reward. But if, remember, we don't go, then there's no sin upon us. And remember, they have absolved us of that. So that is the meaning. It's compulsory, but not like the five daily salat. That's farza'in. Every male, female, who's sane and mature, has to read that and perform the salat. So farza kifaya is a community. The community has to fulfill it. So some people do so. So therefore, Quran Sharif states, remember, وَمَا كَانَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لِيَنْفِرُوا كَافَّةً. It's not all of you must go out in the path of Almighty Allah for jihad and fighting. So a group must go out. فَلَوْلَا نَفَرَ مِنْ كُلِّ فِرْقَةٍ مِّنْهُمْ طَائِفَةً لِيَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. So always you must have one group there who are busy in ta'aleem, ta'allum, لِيَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ, that they must understand the deen profoundly, deeply. تَفَقُّهُ. Today the problem in our madrasas and jamiat and darulums and all that, 90%, 80%, there's no tafakkur really speaking, as far as majority of the students we're speaking. So we're just scratching the surface and scraping the surface. Tafakkur means you go deep, deep down into the oceans of knowledge and so forth. That is tafakkur. So we must go into this ocean of knowledge and get all the pebbles and all the jewels and rubies of knowledge. وَلِيَتَفَقُّوا فِي الدِّينِ وَلِيُنذِرُوا قَوْمَهُمْ إِذَا رَجَوْا إِلَيْهِمْ. And then you come back, and then you teach your people, warn them, so that they can lead a better life. لَأَلَّهُمْ يَحْذَرُونَ. So that ayat also teaches us. So we will say is for the kifaya. But now, let's take the rogue apartheid terrorist regime of Israel. So now when the Palestinians are not sufficient, so in Palestine it will be farza'in. Remember that, because there everyone is affected. So whether in the West Bank, or whether in Jerusalem, or whether in Gaza and so forth. So there for them it's farza'in. And when they cannot suffice, then the circle will get bigger and bigger. So the neighboring countries, it becomes compulsory upon them to help them. So now you take Jordan, you take Syria, all these countries, Lebanon, the true Muslims have to assist them in different ways, and that becomes compulsory. So that is how jihad works when you have a war situation. So that, but the ummah today, you know, the wonderful hadith in Abu Dawood, and the hadith is authentic, we must remember that. And what the hadith teaches us, إِذَا تَبَايَعْتُمْ بِالْإِينَ, when your business dealings are upside down, and وَأَخَذْتُمْ أَذْنَابَ الْبَقَرِ, and you're happy with your farms and your animals and so forth, you took the tails of the cows and the animals, وَتَرَضِيْتُمْ بِزَرْعِ, and you're happy with your crops and your farms and your harvest, وَتَرَكْتُمُ الْجِهَادِ, and you left out jihad. You see, today 90% of the ummah left out jihad. We all love, remember to be in our comfort zone. That is the problem today. Sallallahu alaykum dhulla. Allah will appoint upon you disgrace and humiliation. Show me one country, Muslim country today, not disgraced. Show me one Arab country not disgraced. Everyone without exception, so an exclusion, everyone humiliated, disgraced. See, I give you easy example that you must remember. America, the big chief, the Khud Bas, you see, Uncle Sam, he said after Taliban gave them such a good defeat, thrashing, they had to put their tails between their legs and run. 48 countries, people who don't even have shoes, with sandals they beat them, a ragtag army, and they don't even have one plane to fight them and so forth, and they defeated them with the help and mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. The biggest defeat in the history of America, as Trump said, and the most humiliating. So America said, now sanctions on Taliban and so forth. $7 billion of Afghan money is stolen by them and is still kept by them. They're using it there in the Ukraine war, not giving it to Taliban in Afghanistan. Not only that, then they say there's sanctions upon them. 190 countries of the United Nations, plus more than 190. Now leave the non-Muslim country. Where's the iman? Where's the ghairat? Where's the self-esteem, self-respect of the Muslim countries, Arab countries? So why they don't tell America, you go to hell? We will help our brothers, our sisters, our children in Afghanistan. So because each one is guilty, directly, indirectly, of boot-licking, you must remember, the West. So therefore, we say, if Taliban play their card smart, they must bring Russia in, they must bring China in. Not that they're good to people, for Muslim, but they must marginalize these Americans and their allies and so forth, and tell them that you help us get the lithium, and that they got the greatest reserves there. So in that way, and then bring Pakistan in and so forth. Iran also will jump, because Iran is a neighbor also, and they got good ties with Iran. Iran is not a shaitan also, non-Muslim majority of them. So anyway, if they play their card smart, then they can have a very, very strong bloc. We must remember that. So that is what you need. You must remember Nabi alayhi salatu salam said that, remember when you al-harbu khud'a, al-harbu khid'a, both ways you can say three. So it is deception, survival of the shrewdest. So that is what they need to do. We must remember these things here. So the hadith is authentic in Mishkat Sharif, Mustada Ahmad and so forth. So that, study the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and see, then you will see. So today this ummah, and then Nabi alayhi salam's hadith, sallallahu alaykum dhullah wa la yanzi'u ahadu ankum ahad, no one can remove that disgrace from you, hatta tarji'u ila deenikum, till you return to the deen, the deen, the true deen of Islam. Today we made deen of Islam departments and compartments. Somebody say, I'm an imam, so finish, that is his deen. Somebody say, I'm a mudarris, I'm a teacher, so that's his Islam. Somebody say that I'm in a media, so that is my deen, finish. Somebody say, I'm in the khanka, I'll make zikr, so that is my deen. So remember that, that is part of deen. You can't say it's the whole of deen. So we, a collective ummah, we have neglected this farz-e kifaya to very few. That's why I say, if you say 10-15%, You'll be lucky. 90%, 80%, we have neglected it. And therefore, you have all this humiliation and disgrace today, whether it be in Palestine, or whether it be in Kashmir, India, or whether it be in Syria, or Libya, or Pakistan, or Egypt, or all these countries. Remember that. So, because we, the collective, we have forgotten conveniently, because we want to stay in our comfort zone regarding jihad.
Mufti Sahib, what is the hukam with regards to women in jihad?
Remember, Nabi alayhi salatu salam was asked by the ladies that, Ya Rasulullah, in jihad, there is so many rewards and so forth and so on, so that we also want to participate. Nabi alayhi salatu salam said, yes, go out in jihad, you, and la qitala fi. That in your jihad, there is no qital, there is no fighting, there is no combat. So I perform a hajj, my wife performs hajj, so I will get the reward of hajj only. So remember, that is the pilgrimage. And the ladies, our wives, our daughters, our mothers, sisters, so they perform hajj, they get double reward. Whenever I'm in hajj and we have to address the people, I always tell the ladies, remember, your reward in hajj is double that compared to the men. One, you get the reward of hajj, and one, you get the reward of jihad. Nabi alayhi salam said, that is your jihad, but la qitala fi. There's no fighting in that. So to understand it, remember, in businessman's terms, you know. So you have the holding company. So that is the holding company jihad. And then you have the subsidiaries. So ta'lim, ta'allum, also jihad. Khanka, also jihad. That, you know, the writing book of Islam and so forth, fatwas, all that, also jihad. So all that is jihad. And one of it, of the subsidiaries, will be qital. So qital is not the only jihad, like people think today. So it is one component, one subsidiary of jihad. So always remember that jihad will be your holding company. And once you understood that, then you will understand that that is what we will understand from this and so forth. So what we must say is this, that this is what majority scholars will say, that jihad has got many, many aspects and dimensions and to it involved, like the example I gave.
Mufti Sahib, what is the virtues of going out in jihad?
Obviously, the jihad, Allah Ta'ala speaks in the Quran. Remember so many verses. وَمَنْ يَخْرُجْ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ مُحَاجِرًا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ يُدْرِكْهُ الْمَوْتُ فَقَدْ وَقَى أَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. That if a person, remember, goes out from his house in the path of Almighty Allah, muhajiran, mujahidan, all that meanings will come in. So, and then en route, he never even reached his destination, and death overtake him, he already gets the reward for his intention and so forth. And you see, the Quran Sharif speaks about going out in the path of Almighty Allah. Ya ayyuhal ladhina, you know, it is the month of Rajab, and it is the ninth year after the Hijrah. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, ma lakum idha qila lakum unfiru fi sabilillahi thaqaltum minal ard. Why are you stuck and clinging to the earth? Why you don't want to go in the path of Allah? أَرَضِيْتُمْ بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. So, in al-akhirah, are you pleased with this worldly life? فَمَا مَتَاءُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. See, it's only two places in the Quran you will find this. If you don't go out in the path of Allah, Allah tanfiru, then yastabdil qawman ghayrakum. Allah Ta'ala will bring for you another nation. Allah will replace you with somebody else. So see what Almighty Allah Jalla Wala is teaching us in the noble Quran. That when people don't want to go out in the path of Almighty Allah, Allah warns them, Surah 9, Surah Tawbah, verse 38 and verse 39, Illa tanfiru yu'azibkum azaban alima. See, Allah says, you don't go out, then there will be a painful, horrible, terrible punishment. وَيَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ. And then Allah will replace you. 30,000 Sahaba got together, as mentioned in Sahih Hadith in Mustadrak Hakim. And I flew from there to Tabuk. And remember, by plane, it takes you 1.5 hours. And it was midsummer, 50 degrees plus minus. The khajur, the dates were smiling in their faces. They had to leave all that. Only three sahaba stayed behind. Hypocrites stayed behind. But three sahaba, Ka'b bin Malik and them, wa ala thalathati alladhina khulifu. So remember, Allah Ta'ala accepted their tawbah. So this is one place where Allah Ta'ala warns us, you don't want to go in jihad, Allah will punish you and replace you with other people. See, so surah number 9 and verse 39. And then another place, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us, wa in tatawallaw. See how Islam started. It started there in Makkah Mukarramah, went to Medina Munawwara, and then from there it went to Iraq during the time of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, and then the Makufa, and that. Then during the Umayyad dynasty it went to Syria and Damascus and all these places. Then during the Abbasid dynasty, what happened? So we see, then it went there, you must remember, to Iraq. So from Damascus went to Baghdad and all these places. And then after that, wait, went to Turkey. So remember that you got the Khilafat Uthmaniyah, and that is how Almighty Allah system, you look at it today. If you take South Africa, such a small Muslim community compared to the Arabs and all of them, but the amount of madrasas, darulums, ulama, and all that we got are much more, you know, if you take comparatively on percentage scale. So that therefore we got 20 rakats tarawih, so many hufas. But these people, these Salafis with their crooked fatwas and all, they say 8 rakats, therefore you hardly find a hafiz there. When you show indifference to it. So Allah says, second place, وَإِنْ تَتَوَلَّوْ يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَكُونُوا أَمْثَالَكُمْ. Chapter number 47, Surah Muhammad, and verse number 38. So remember, when you turn away, Allah to both Bani Yasir, Allah Ta'ala is self-sufficient and totally independent. Nobody does Allah a favor. Nobody does Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam a favor. Nobody does Islam a favor. So Allah has done us a favor. So when you turn away, yastabdil qawman ghayrakum, Allah brings another people. So now we Indians, we Africans, we Europeans, we Chinese, we are Europeans. How many of them are entering into the fold of Islam? Because the Arabs and them, we don't say all, but we'll say majority, very far from deen nowadays. Waylul lil Arab. So the hadith is mentioned in Sahih Muslim. Now when this new people come, so ثُمَّ لَا يَكُونُوا أَمْثَالَكُمْ, they will not be like you. They will be devoted, dedicated Muslims and prepared to give everything. Surah 47 and verse number 38. See, I give you incident last night. You know, Wednesdays I go to Darul Zakaria. Right. So when I was leaving from there, so one youngster comes. So I thought he's South African or something, you know, from Cape Town, and had the features, and he was running. He said, Mufti, Mufti, I want to ask you questions. So I joked with him. I said, there's so many Maulanas, Muftis here, go ask them what you are. He said, no, no, you answer me. So I said, okay, speak. So then I'm going to my car, towards my car. He says, you know what? My whole family is non-Muslim. I am the only Muslim. And I asked, from where are you, brother? He said, from Congo. He said, DRC, Congo, you know. I said, yes, I know. So he says that now, in our family, that I'm only Muslim and I'm studying here and all. I said, very good and all. So I asked him, then now what's your question? He said, no, there's one person in our family, he's coming to South Africa, but he's a priest, he's a pastor like. So now he's going to come and visit me and all that. He'll give me some money and all that. So I take it, but he's not Muslim. So I say, he never became Muslim and left Islam. He said, no, 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 all non-Muslim. So I say, it's fine, there's no problem with that. So see now from where and where you see students coming to study in our madrasas, our darulums and all this and so forth. So you will see majority are foreigners compared to locals. So that is Allah's system. Allah will use people for his deen. Who he will use, that is Allah's prerogative. himself. So that is what we must understand, that the deen of Islam will continue. Whether we part of it or not part of it, that doesn't matter. But it will matter for us if we are part of the deen. If we show, no, I don't want to be, so go. Nobody's going to force you. فَلَمَّا أَزَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ. So we must understand what deen is all about. And when Islam speaks of jihad, let me give you two more verses. This is called مِمْ مَقَاسِدِ الشَّرِيعَ مِمْ مَقَاسِدِ الدِّينِ. Why did Islam allow it? Islam never allowed it in Makkah. If you look at the history, Islam allowed it in Medina. أُذِنَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتَلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا. Because they were so oppressed and so forth. So, but what is the purpose of it? There must be objective. So two places Allah Ta'ala mentions the reason and the rationale for jihad. Otherwise you look at jihad, there's bloodshed and people get become yatim and orphans, women become widow and all that. Nobody loves war, remember that. And the first casualty in war, you must remember, is the truth. Because you see today Ukraine and Russia, both sides lying like you can't believe. So everybody making their own hasbara. Hasbara is a jutla term. You will always remember that. Hasbara is that the propaganda. The jutlas use the word hasbara. See what Quran says. Surah number 2, verse 251. وَلَوْلَا دَفْءُ اللَّهِ النَّاسِ بَعْضَهُمْ بِبَعْضٍ. If there is no fighting amongst people then, so one party will become dominant, like America today and so forth. لَفَسَدَتِ الْأَرْضُ. The whole world will become corrupted. So you have to fight. Why you have to fight? So that Islam and Muslims stay alive. You know, if you know statistics, study from time of Nabi alayhi salam, and then study the golden era and all that till the past century. We had Nabi sallallahu alayhi sallam during his time, the Khulafa'i Rashideen. Then we had Umayyad dynasty, 90 years approximately. Abbasid dynasty, 525 years. Then the Umayyad dynasty, 640 years, 642 years plus minus. Who study when jihad was alive, the people, Muslim who's to pass away, were much less compared to when we left jihad. So what is that telling you? That it is in our own interest that the jihad must carry on. So the world, it will be filled with fasad, fitna and so forth. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ ذُو فَضْلٍ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. But Allah Ta'ala is the possessor of grace, that still His mercy comes on the Muslims. Surah 2 verse 251. See the broader scheme of things. Allah wants, you must make your choice when it comes to worship and so forth and so on. So we're speaking to you about, you must remember that why jihad is allowed. Yeah, jihad in the meaning of qital, in the meaning of fighting the enemy, combating the enemy. أُذِنَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتَلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا. Muslims were allowed because they were oppressed and so forth. Surah Hud, chapter 22, verse 39. And then remember, what is the crime? الَّذِينَ أُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِ مِغَيْرِ حَقٍّ. The Muslims are being persecuted, expelled from their homes without justification. The justification, إِلَّا أَن يَقُولُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ. We say Allah is our sustainer. We believe in the article of faith. For what in Palestine they're getting kicked out? For what in India they're getting kicked out and so forth? They will say you had no permit, you had no license, you had no... The Jutla and the Hindu, did they have license to do all that? Everywhere you will see double standards. But see the purpose. Now this is Surah Hajj, chapter 22, verse 40. وَلَوْلَا دَفْءُ النَّاسِ بَعْضَهُمْ بِبَعْضٍ. When there's no fighting one against the other, لَهُدِّمَتْ صَوَامِئُ وَبِيَعُ وَصَلَوَاتُ وَمَسَاجِدُ يُذْكَرُ فِي أَسْمُ اللَّهِ كَثِيرًا. All your places of worship will be demolished and they will be removed. And see yesterday Kabul, there they attacked the masjid and so forth. forth. This is the enemies of Islam. So they can't bear it and stick it that the Taliban are in power now and how they're surviving for 1 year and so forth. So Islam says protect the churches, protect the synagogues, protect the monasteries, protect the masajid. You have your freedom of worship. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala who demonstrated it in the year 6637 when they came there to Palestine, and he told Sophronius, all your monasteries, your churches, nobody will demolish it. You carry on with your worship and so forth. But if you're going to now backstab us, and then we will wage war against you. So that is the beauty of Islam. We will protect. Who is protecting today? Who is protecting today? Ask this to any Christian who knows Christianity. So who is protecting the holiest, most sacred site of Christendom in the world? The holiest place is Kanisatul Qiyamah, is the holy sepulchre where the Christians believe. We reject all this. They say Jesus was crucified, then he was placed in the tomb, in the grave and all. I went right inside there also with Allah's help. So you must remember that the keys of that church in the time of Salahuddin Ayyubi 1187, today 2022, how many years have passed? The keys of the holiest place of Christianity is still in the hands of the Muslims. Mm. The Muslims go and open the church and the Muslims go and close the church. So that is Islam. Remember these things.
Mufti Sahab, before we go for a break, just a quick question. The West paints an ISIS picture of jihad, of killing innocent
remember
people.
Whether it is ISIS or whether it is Shabab or whether it is Al-Qaeda and all that, you know when the 2016 election was taking place in America. For Democrats was Clinton, Hillary Clinton, other side Republicans was who? Was Trump. So when they were interviewing her, she, this Hillary, she thought she'll become the first female president in the history of America and all that stories. Obviously, she got humiliated and disgraced and so forth. And I must tell you one more thing about that. So you must remember this, that what happens? So we see that she said herself in the interview, who made all these groups, Al-Qaeda and all of them? We financed them, we brought them into existence, we gave them everything. So it came out from the horse's mouth. So whether it's ISIS or whether it's Shabab or whether it's Boko Haram or whether it's Qaeda, it's all the Western powers. They want that Islam must be humiliated and Muslims must be humiliated. So they want to hijack Islam and paint Islam with the bed. You know, people must look at Islam, we are terrorists and so. But they finance them and all these type of things there. So therefore, we say that every time they try to do this, so you must remember it will be something that goes back to them, meaning that it boomerangs on them. More and more people embrace Islam. Quran says that yuriduna liyutfi'u nur Allah biafwahim wallahu mutimmu nurihi walau karihal kafirun. And Almighty Allah Jalla wala wala, the nur of Islam, radiance and effulgence of Islam spread throughout the world. You know, I spoke of Hillary. I told you, you must remind me, Yazid, you know. Now, this kind of thing you must remember lifelong. You see, it was the time when she, Madeleine Albright, was the Secretary of State. Secretary of State is big name, this American, just keep for foreign minister. So she's a Jutli, a Jewess. When they attacked Iraq, she was asked this question, that you're going to murder and kill 500,000 children. She said, yes, it's worth it. So they are the biggest haramis, you must remember, murderers of children. Then they want to come tell us about the Holocaust and all that. So therefore we say that there are many Holocausts against the Muslim. Remember that. This is the Jutla, they want exclusivity. A Holocaust can only be used for them. What you're doing 74 years in Israel, in Palestine, is that not the Holocaust for 74 years? What you did in Iraq, you murdered over 1 million people, 500,000 children and you justified it. So all these things. Yeah? So when we compare apples with apples, then you will see they will be found. And the best part is not one of them has been prosecuted. Whether it's Bush or whether it's Blair or whether it's Ariel Sharon or Netanyahu or Bennett or whoever. So that is the double standards you see. But you speak of Islam, they say, no. And then you get all these Saudis and Emirates and Bahrain and Morocco. Whole lot, I'm speaking of the government, sell out traitors, murtads, boot licking the Americans, boot licking the Israelis. So that is where we are today. And we need to understand the Shias. Shias play a wonderful game, wonderful inverted commas. They will tell the Arabs, we're coming for you. And then the Americans and the others will give them din ku gali dete hai ek dusre ku, raat ku zina karte hai. You must remember, daytime they are swearing one another, we will do this to Israel, Israel say we will do this to you, and all that. But nighttime they plotting, planning the whole thing. So why Israel don't attack Iran? Why Iran don't attack Israel? So you must say, directly they don't. So because you must say, this is a plot and plan that Shias are Jews. Their father was a Jew. So remember, founder all that, Abdullah bin Sabah. So this is the game they play, you see. So now these Arab fools and idiots, that's the word you have to use, sufaha, you understand? So that they say, no, let us join Israel and we'll attack Iran. How foolish you can be. You must remember this type of things here. Alaysa minkum rajulu rashid. So that is what you need to understand.
Inshallah, we'll go for the break, and when we come back, we'll discuss the battles, inshallah.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio. Empowering the Ummah.
Esteemed listeners of Sirius FM, Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we welcome you back to this program. Mufti Saab, what are the battles in chronological order?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Before we go to that, we must understand that Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, is, will always be. You must remember Rahmatul Lil Alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what happens is that it's a last resort that we will. But we don't say defensive only. There will be offensive wars as well. So you must remember that. So look at it. Look at life after Hijrah. In the first year, you must remember, was Muwakhat. Muwakhat was, and let me point out one thing. Why were the Munafiqeen and the hypocrites of Medina so dead against Nabi alayhi salatu salam and Sahaba? You see, prior to that, prior to Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entering Medina Munawwara in Rabiul Awwal, now that is the first year of the Hijrah, the coronation was going to take place of who? Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, Ra'isul Munafiqeen. So remember that. So he was supposed to be made the prime minister, the big chief, Wazir A'la, the chief minister of Medina Munawwara. Now when Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered, so first thing, no, everybody, let's have a meeting. So the Jews were there, the Munafiqeen were there, the Muslims were there. They said, no, we all agree. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the leader for everybody. And we must become khulafa. We must become allies. Meaning, if we attack outside, then we must help one another. If somebody attacks us, we all must defend. You know, things like that and so forth. So all this agreement. So now he lost his chief minister. He lost. No coronation took place and so forth. So he always had that vengeance, that grudge in his heart. So he became Gharkachor, like the Shias of today, you know. So he played the double game. So he became known in the issue of Siddiqa, that Aisha radiallahu anha, and making wild accusations, Ali, walladhi tawalla kibrahu. He played the principal role. Quran says so. You must remember that. Quran says, Surah 4, verse 145, Innal munafiqina fi darkil asfali minan nar. So remember that he went, that Allah Ta'ala says, these hypocrites who only pay lip service to Islam in their hearts is nothing. So it will go to the lowest, lowest layer of Jahannam. They will be worse off than the kuffar, the Jews, Christians, and all of them. Like Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah wrote, if you look among Arab scholars, the one who did one of the greatest work against the Shias is him, Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. Minhaj Sunnah, and that his fatawa, Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. He said regarding the Rawafid and Shia, hum ashaddu ala al-Muslimin min al-Yahud wa al-Nasara. See, you must understand that. So first year was that. Second year was Battle of Badr. Badr took place, remember, there. So in 17th Ramadan and on a Friday, and against all odds, Allah Jalla Wala gave 313. Therefore we, the Ahlu Sunnah wa Jama'ah, we say, how in Anbiya you have Tafadul. They all are Anbiya, selected by Almighty Allah, but some are greater than the others. Tilka Rusulu. Fadwalna ba'dhum ala ba'd. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr, then Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman, then Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhum. So Ashra Mubashira are first. Then second is Ashab Badr, you see. They are the greatest. Then you go and let it. So remember that. So Badr, because it was so much sacrifice, 14 Sahaba lost their lives and became Shuhada, 70 of the Kuffar dispatched to Jahannam, Abu Jahal and company, 70 taken captive. Walaqad nasarakumullahu bi Badr you want to Mazilla. Then third year was Uhud. Our people say Uhud is wrong. So that's in Shawwal. Remember, just 1 year, now 1 month, 13 months. So there Muslims were winning. But you see, Khalid bin Walid is Saifullah. That you know, so he, when you Saifullah, you can't lose. So you sword of Allah. So now, it was a master stroke strategy on his part. When you go there, you see Jabal-e-Rumat, the mountain of the archers, 50 of them. So they thought the battle is finished. They came down. Only 12 were left there. So remember, he came, and then the victory turned into defeat. Like 70 Sahaba, Shaheed, Sayyidu Shuhada, Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu anhu and others. Then we come to that is third year, Shawwal. Then fourth year. Now this, academically, this is but ikhtilaf. Now for ulama and students is good. When you ask Musa bin Uqba, he is Imamul Maghazi. You ask Imam Bukhari rahimahullah, they say the battle of Khandaq took place in the fourth year. But majority scholars say it took place in the fifth year. So that is an academic discussion, you understood? You know, when I went Maulana first time, you know, my beloved parents were with me. So we saw so many things. This is 1974 Ramadan. We could see the Khandaq for kilos, you know, from there. Now there's no Nam Nishan, nothing, you might remember that. So that we could see the actual Khandaq and all that, the trench and all these type of things there. So some ulama like Imam Bukhari, Rahimullah, and I say fourth year, others say fifth year, and so forth. Then sixth year was Hudaybiyah. So you must remember that. So that was the peace treaty, and so forth. Now, yeah, you must write down. Oh yeah, I want to explain this to you. I mustn't forget, very important. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam participated bin nafs and nafsis. Himself, he jasad athar. Himself, he was there. 27 battles. It don't mean in every battle there was combat. Some places there was no combat. But the enemy just surrendered. So 27 there was Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you call that Ghazawat, Ghazawatun Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then you have Saraya. Saraya is the plural of Sariya. So remember that is 50. Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent out. I'll give you an example just now. So where are we now in the sixth year? Now, yeah, you must remember a big battle took place, and it's called Ghazwa-e Bani Mustaliq. They fought against them, and the place is called Muraisi. So sometimes our people don't understand, you know, things. Now, what can you tell? So, anyway, yesterday, Hazrat Mufti Sahib made a nice joke, you know, but anyway, about students, and then, now no time for that. So he said, so remember, Muraisi is the place name, and remember, Mustaliq is Bani Mustaliq. This is in the sixth year. So remember that. That all these things that were spoken by the hypocrites was in this battle. You must remember that. In the battle of Bani Musta. لَا يُخْرِجَنَّ لَعَزُّ مِنَ الْأَذَلِ He, Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, Ra'isul Munafiqeen, he made that statement. Sometimes we use it also. سَمْ مِنْ كَلْبَكْ يَعَكُلْكَ Sometimes you have a puppy, and that puppy becomes a big Alsatian, becomes a big bulldog, and it eats you up, you see. So sometimes you have children. Now these children, they don't listen to the parents. They say, you old-fashioned, this is what you know, and this and that. So you call that sammin kalbak ya'akulka. You understood the term? Right. You have students that they want to become, after 3 years, 5 years, Hazrat Mufti Shafi'i Sahib Rahimullah, Grand Mufti of Pakistan used to say that some of you students, you come here to Darul Uloom, Cha al Himaru Sagir, small donkey came, and then he qualified Warajal Himarul Kabir. But you went back a big donkey. He used to say, his sons are there, you can ask him, they're in Karachi. So they oppose their teachers, they don't listen to the teachers. You can see what's happening today also. So then you call like that, Cha al Himaru Sagir, Warajal Himarul Kabir. So he made all this statements. Then Zayd bin Arqam went to inform Nabi alayhi salam. Then the ayats got revealed, and then he was exposed. Surah Munafiqun, you see. So it's very interesting that seventh year, see, Sayyidina Umar could not understand that, and he was a genius. That, Ya Rasulullah, why must we accept this truth in Hudaybiyah? Alasna alal haq. But Allah said, Wa athabahum fathan qariba. So when was Hudaybiyah? In the sixth year, in the month of Zulqa'dah. Zulqa'dah, Zulhijjah, Muharram. So what is Wa'athabam Fatan Qariba? That the Khaybar battle. And there the Muslims won the magnificent victory against the Jews. And then the Mushrikeen, they violated the conditions and treaty themselves. So Fateh Makkah took place Ramadan, 21st Ramadan. So that is 8th year. 10,000 Sahaba came. Sahaba were fired up. Remember, Sa'd radiallahu anhu was before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Sufyan was standing there. He, Sa'd, told him, you, Abu Sufyan, because Abu Sufyan is still non-Muslim. Al-yawmu yawmul malhama. Aaj hum boti boti kar denge. Hum tukre tukre kar denge. That's the translation. Today we're going to make mincemeat out of you. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered. He, Abu Sufyan, complained to the master. The time Abu Sufyan was not Sahabi. We say radiallahu an, because he's Sahabi afterwards. He embraced Islam and so forth. So anyway, so then he told Nabi alayhi salam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no. Al-yawmu yawmul marhama. Today is day of what? Of mercy, compassion. That is the kamal. You have the power and you forgive. You see, then Nabi alayhi salam said, go, antumut tulaqa. That was the turning point. Then 99%, 95% came into the fold of Islam, of the Arab Peninsula, yadkhuluna fi deenillahi afwaja took place. Then, that is now 8th year. After that, then you go there from, I don't know if you know these places, Maulana, if you go from Makkah to Taif, so in between the places there, لَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَوَاتِنَ كَثِيرًا وَيَوْمَ حُنَيْنٍ So then the battle of Hunain took place. You see that? So and then 9th year Rajab, the battle of Tabuk took place. And then their 10th year was Hajjatul Wida, and the 11th year was Wafatul Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you must, now you got 10 lectures already, 10, 11 lectures. You see, Maulana? So wherever you lecturing, so when I lectured now in Marisburg, this now when I went for Muharram, so you know, so that Maulana, he came to meet the Imam. He said, from your talk, I got my next 10 lectures ready. Stood like this, what I gave now. So you must just go make more research, and then you got all these things. Yeah. Understood? So Islam, we got nothing to apologize about. You must remember that Islam is pure. Yes, Muslims make mistakes. You can't blame Islam for that. So you must remember this. Go study our history and our seerah to Nabi. Today the problem is we don't study all these things here. So Allah Jalla Wala give us the tawfiq that you must remember that we understand what is the purpose of jihad. The purpose of jihad is لِيُذْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ, that Islam must prevail everywhere. I'm a doctor, I must be Muslim doctor. I'm an engineer, I must be Muslim engineer. I'm a lady, I must be a Muslim lady first, then a wife and mother and daughter. And that. So that is, we say no Islamic government, but in your house, who's preventing you? I'm asking, who's preventing you? Nobody prevents you. So why are you going to have Islam in your house? We bring all the rubbish in the house. Every house you will find 90% there's a TV there, there's porn there. There's, I mean, let us be honest about these issues. So who's preventing you? Nobody preventing you. But you love the Muslim, love all those haram things there. So that's why, ghar ko aag lag gayi, ghar ki chiragh se. So we have destroyed Islam from within. So that is where the problem lies.
Mufti Saab, as a last question, can Mufti Saab please comment on the group that will emerge from the Khurasan?
Yes, remember Khurasan, Afghanistan, write it down for you. Afghanistan changed his name to Afghanistan 275-276 years ago, and it was Ahmad Shah Abdali. So all Afghan, only two people won in Afghanistan. One, Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anhu, one, Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. Anybody came after that, the British came thrice defeated. Russians came defeated. Americanos came, Yankees came defeated. The coalition came defeated. No one can beat them. They got Iman. They got Islam. They got Ghairat. They are women, uneducated. That, but they give birth to Mujahideen. So who's better? You with your MA and BA and all that, you can't make one samosa properly. And your husband also upside down most of the time. So is he better or you better or the Mujahideen are better? I'm asking you. Obviously the Mujahideen are better. So today they say, so this morning I posed this question. My sister Bilkis Banu in India, 11 men, Hindus, Mushriks, gang raped her, and they were given death, you know, punishment for till death, like, you know. So now they released them, now a few days ago. So I said, why the world don't speak about that? Where's my sister's human rights? You see, so everywhere you will see this, double standards and so, but they'll make big noise, Afghanistan does this and all these things here. So we must remember Islam got reasons for all these things here. Okay, we finish with the program. 12 o'clock news with our brother Suleiman Esop. Thereafter, 12 to 1, Mufti Ibrahim Saleji of Ispingo Beach with the Isla Talk. 1 o'clock Adhan, 1:05 to 1:30, Surah Taghabun, verses 10 to 18. That Surah 64 will complete the Surah inshallah, 1:30 to 2 Surah Qasas, and they also will complete the Surah inshallah today, 86 to 88. 2 to 3 current affairs with Brother Yusuf Ali, 3 o'clock news, then the repeat of the Q&A. 3:40 to 4 will be the Duas and Zikr. 4 to 5 Mona Ahmed Latsab, and he's giving advice to the Tabligh Jamaat and so forth. So 4 to 5 in Urdu, that will be, then 5 to 7 Mona Khalid Yaqub. 7 to 7:30 the repeat of the Tafsir. 7:30 to 8, inshallah, will be Maulana Yunus Patel. 8 to 10 will be Maulana Salim Kareem and Maulana Arafat. Barakallahu fiqh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakumullah khairan to Mufti Saab and to all our listeners. We head now for the news with Brother Suleiman. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.